I'm trying to get my show, man.
Vocals are too loud. But I see what he's saying, how the other mic is picking me up, because the mic be picking me up sometime, you dig? What you think, Kente?
Man, it's all good, man. I feel like this is it.
I feel like this is it.
I'm not saying I'm gonna change the world. I do guarantee that I will spark a brain that will change the world. Welcome to the Mookie Mel Show.
To the Mookie Mel Show, everyone. Your boy Mookie Mel. I'm here with one of my best friends, Kente Malcolm Man. Welcome, bro. Welcome.
Man, appreciate you having me.
Yeah, no doubt. Of course, of course. I am very excited. Me and Malcolm were trying to figure out a lot with this dual mic thing for a minute, but we got it together.
That's all good.
Oh, man, I'm excited. Malcolm is one of my best friends from growing up. Me and Malcolm have known each other since kindergarten. He's been an incredible friend, brother to me. We've gone through a lot. And I appreciate this man. And y'all are very welcome that he is the first guest. I'm going to say you're welcome at the beginning of the show because you're going to thank me later. But yes, yes. Malcolm, tell the people a little bit about yourself, man.
Man, before I get going, I just want to shout out to Miles, man. Miles is one of those people who, anyone who knows Miles knows he's energetic and he's someone who moves with purpose and he doesn't live life in vain. He does everything intentionally and I'm excited to be a part of what he's a part of. But I just want to start off by saying that, so I appreciate you having me, my brother. I'm Malcolm. I'm from Plano, Texas. As we said, I've known Miles for over 12 years or so now. I went to Mid-America Christian University out of Oklahoma City. I was a basketball player. I just graduated this past year, so now I'm doing admissions work while getting my MBA in business right now. And most exciting news for me coming up is I'm getting married to the beautiful Anna Irene Horwitz, soon-to-be man. So that's exciting news for me. But other than that, man, not too much else going on.
Awesome. You said you played basketball. I saw you earlier with a big ring on your finger. What was that? Can you tell the people what that was?
2016, we won nationals at Mid-America Christian University for the first time in school history.
Oh, wow. So you're a national champion?
Something like that.
Wow. Wait, what about one of those game shots? What happened? I think I saw some on ESPN. I'm just saying.
What'd you see on ESPN?
I think I saw you on top 10 in the game winner. I don't know.
I can't say that's a lie.
Okay.
I can't say that's a lie.
I mean, y'all don't know Malcolm, but Malcolm is a humble beast, as some may call. So I'll do his bragging for him. But, man, today we're going to just jump right into it. The episode is the topic of the day. Is representation. Representation is very important. Being able to have a public figure whom individuals are able to identify themselves with is very powerful. We have to understand that everyone evaluates and diagnoses different situations differently. And the fact that some people can identify with others or find them to be someone whom they can call an idol is important. And no matter whom you may find these people you figure to be your role models or who you may identify with, majority of the time nowadays, it happens to be, for most people, some of their idols are on TV.
Yep.
And I'm not coming here to downplay that, but I want to discuss that a little bit. And I think Malcolm will have some very, very powerful points of view on some of the topics. Malcolm is one of the most wisestest men I done ever met. Oh, my goodness. This brother is wise beyond his years. So I think some of his responses and, you know, acknowledgments to situations will be very refreshing, plentiful, and thought-provoking for not, if not all, most of us. So let's get into it with S1 Sports. So sports. Malcolm, I know that you have a rather extensive background in sports, and I know you've been one of the premier athletes in Texas our entire lives, and I know this, but can you tell the people a little bit about your, you know, your sports background?
You know, growing up, I was part of the Tapatio Pistons. I was ran by my father out of Plano, and so we had a lot of top recruiters coming out of Dallas, and we kind of played on one team, and so we had a lot of scouts coming out really early into our high school career.
Hey, hold on, man. That Tapatio's organization was more than just basketball. That was family. Let me tell you. Shoot, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. My bad.
So my dad, he pushed us. A lot of things that we did in training were things that he knew we couldn't do, but he was trying to get us, get our mental to a new ceiling. So we were creating new norms for our bodies, and so there are a lot of things that we did in conditioning that would allow us to perform at a high level in basketball, and it really benefited me throughout my high school and my college career. So
I feel it. Mm-hmm. I dig it. So let's talk about some sports, man. You know, in this representation topic of the day, I wanted to just ask you, what is a role model, man? Like, today, I'm kind of lost, bro. You know, I don't, like, to me, I get it. You know, I like celebrities. I like athletes. You know, Kobe's one of my role models, you know, so I get it. But I like Kobe for different reasons. But what would you consider a role model?
So right now, when I think about role models, I say, you know, it can be anything from sports, from music, for someone who's in a professional career. But when we think about role models, we see something in them that we admire. There's something in them that we would say, dang, I would like to have that. And for some people, it can be a rapper. For some people, it can be a business leader. For another person, it can be a church leader or any other type of religion. So I think that's transferable to anyone who admires or finds someone a role model.
I feel that. But I mean, so what do you think of just some of these kids finding or people? Shoot, all people admire athletes these days. What do you think of people admiring an athlete or making them a role model merely because of their athletic stature?
I think that can be dangerous. I think finding admiration, what someone can do and what they can do alone, can be dangerous, whether you're talking about yourself or whether you're talking about someone else, because that can be taken away at any moment. So when you're talking about characteristic traits or you're talking about something that's internal, like people like Steph Curry because they know that he's a good dude. He's a good basketball player as well, and people admire him for that as well. But people also like who Steph Curry is off the court. And so I think when you can find characteristic traits that don't leave once a person's talents leave, that's something that can continue beyond the court or beyond the field or whatever they may be doing.
I feel that. No, I mean, man, I'm not going to lie. I get it. I don't think I would necessarily say some of these people are my role models. More than I'm kind of envious of them. I'm like, dang, I wish I was on TV. Yeah. Or, listen, somebody need to get me on TV. Like, but I don't know, man. I understand, like, especially from at a younger age, too, you know. Like, I remember it. I was like, dang, I want to be just like Kobe. I want to have an afro, have the forearm band, and just dunk on people. But I never really admired him for his mentality, though, you know? So I get, I guess, where the confusion comes. But a problem, what I'm noticing, specifically pertaining to the NBA, because they get players so young. And, I mean, you know, we're all, like I was just saying to you, we're all young at heart, despite our age. And so some of these players are literally 18, 19 years old and being forced to go to press conferences. I mean, what? And what the... Huh? I can't go represent myself at 18, 19, and I just became a millionaire. Right. You know, bro, like, what? How can you be one of these premier athletes these days and know what to say when you have adults trying to trick you in the questioning they're presenting to you?
So, yeah, one thing about that, I know there's some universities that do a lot of, like, public speaking, like, training. Mm-hmm. I know at the University of Texas, I have two friends that played there, and they did a lot of that. Because, like you said, a lot of people do have their own agendas. They have disguised intentions. They might be trying to find out something about you that you didn't even know they're trying to get out you. And you slip up and you say something, next thing you know, you're on the cover of a newspaper. And so that's a dangerous place to be. So I don't think that's going to change. But I think what can change is the preparation aspect that universities and, you know, NBA scouts are doing that early on, because it's going to come. I mean, and so a lot of times... they do it for the premier athletes, but then someone comes out of the blue, they start, you know, hooping or they're playing really well, and then now they have to be interviewed, and so now you find out who they are. And so I think it's something that needs to be taken care of across the board, preparing these young kids to be able to speak and be able to articulate in a way that can be received, and not a critical way, but just receive, like, this is who I am.
Right, and I mean, this goes all back to the roots of why the show is created, just in the loss of communication. But, you know, when you're young and naive and gullible almost, you know, you're told you need to do this interview and you're just thinking you're answering questions. Right. And then it comes up later, you said something wrong, you know, lo and behold, you didn't even realize.
Right. Yeah.
So it's tough these days, man. And I sympathize and feel for a lot of these kids, because I get it. Shoot, I'm a knucklehead still to this day. I say things I regret. And if I was 18, 16 years old, 14, and I'm getting interviewed by an adult, I'm just going to answer the question. I mean, anybody that knows me knows I hate to answer questions, but I get it. Like, it's tough. So I hear you, man. But let's blow up the picture a little more. Let's think about some of these guys who are in the NBA. And I say the NBA specifically because... the NFL isn't getting these young players. The NHL will get a few young guys now. I will say that, and I respect that a lot. But they're not on as high a platform as in America. Mm-hmm. You know, soccer. Frankly, Americans don't pay much attention to soccer just because we're not good at it.
Right.
So these are pretty much the premier sports throughout the world. Baseball. Listen to this though. A lot of the younger baseball players, right, are Spanish of some type, right, Malcolm?
Dominican, yeah.
Right. Yeah. From some sort. But think about this. The younger guys who are Spanish, right, they have a translator, right?
Yeah.
Typically, for the most part, right?
Right.
And that's like a buffer between anything, any response they may receive into their output, correct? So I find that very interesting that, you know, baseball is able to help administrate a buffer. But when you think about the NBA, a lot of the times these guys are American players, they speak English, but where is this buffer for this premier sport?
So I think a lot of times when we jump into like, what does that conversation look like whenever a player goes on the news or something like that? They say something crazy. What's that next conversation? A lot of times these players say, dang, well, I can't even be me in BBC because I feel like they have to be a different person for people to receive them. And a lot of times that's just a huge miscommunication, because it's not about losing yourself, but it's about, dang, what do I need to do to communicate to these people to where they can understand what I'm saying and where I'm coming from? You don't have to lose yourself, but there's not people who are telling these kids that enough for them to understand that.
And, you know, you also have to understand, too, let's also consider everything is relevant. So who knows where this person's coming from, their background, their education, you know, and especially, let's say, shoot, even me in this situation right now, I'm an adult working a full-time job. If I became a millionaire tomorrow, Malcolm, what would I do? I don't know what I would do. Could you you know me better than a lot of people. What would I do? Like, buy some land. Oh, man, right, good answer, We on the show. Right, good answer. But, man, you know, that's tough. That's tough. You become a millionaire overnight, 18, 19, 20, shoot, 21 years old, and you've just almost inherited a loan sum of money due to your athletic abilities, and now you're thought to be perceived as an adult?
And that's something that's just not taken into consideration enough, because you have kids who, a lot of these kids don't come from wealthy households. They don't see how money is managed. They don't know the benefit of saving. They don't know the benefit of, you know, investing. And so a lot of these kids go in and they have this load of money. It's a, it's like a, I heard a example a couple years ago. It's like giving a three-year-old the keys to a car. Like, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's not, they're not ready to drive the car, but you train them up and you say, hey, okay, I'm going to give you these keys, and now you can handle it a lot better. So a lot of people with money, they get this load of money, they don't know what to do with it, and so they're destructive with it. And so a lot of these people just need to invest into these people, these young kids. I know LeBron James had that really early on. He talked about that, about having a mentor, and that's just a difference.
And but no, run with that, because the difference of LeBron, though, he's been, this man, first of all, he was Mr. Ohio as a sophomore. How many people can be Mr. anything as a sophomore? I don't even think I was Mr. Melville as a sophomore. Like, what? So think about the caliber of interviews this man's been going through to be able to now have his interviews conducted in the mannerism he is now performing and conveying himself at. If it's your first time being interviewed, even something as simple as recording a podcast in front of a mic just between you and I can be hard.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know, so imagine doing that in front of a live television, a news anchor, and knowing millions of people are watching. Oh, and I can't even buy my own drink. What? Yeah. You know, Malcolm, what? So for any young athletes, I know you've been here. I know, as we alluded to and said, and I can see, you've won a national championship. To any young athletes listening, what would be your best advice to them in terms of being able to respond with not only wisdom, but character, and as well as you were saying, conveying themselves in any type of interview or social media?
Right. I think for me, the root of all of that and being able to communicate yourself in a way that you can be received in a positive light is to understand that there's an identity outside of your sport. Because one thing I was taught at a young age is, like, at some point the ball is going to stop bouncing, and at that point you have to find out what you're going to do with your life. And so if I spent my whole life just playing basketball and I got injured my sophomore year and that was my identity is now gone. And so now I feel like I'm nobody. But I was blessed to be around people like Miles and have a good circle, and have a father who taught me that, man, there's something that you can do beyond basketball, because once that's gone, you need to pursue that.
That's powerful, man. That's very powerful, Malcolm. I can resonate with that comment myself, man. I pretty much stopped my basketball career in almost what some would call the peak. So I went through an identity crisis myself, and man, just to hear you say that, that hit home for me. So, but what you're saying outside of sports, I have to ask you this. I know we're talking about sports a lot, but I have to ask you this. Why aren't more kids idolizing Colin Kaepernick then? What do you think is going on with that? How is society spinning that? Or is he an idol, or are we just overplaying this whole situation? Or let's even take a left turn and think, is this a publicity stunt?
For who?
No, shoot, maybe for him. Maybe for the NFL. Maybe they have, I don't know. Well, let's go back to the initial question. Why aren't more people idolizing Colin Kaepernick?
I think that people love being accepted, and I think people are willing to give up what they truly believe to be accepted. And so when people see the tweets and people see the people going on rants on social media and on the news, and they feel like that this is a backlash, like, no, I'm not going to speak on that behalf either, because I don't want those problems. I'm just going to keep quiet. And so I think some people may idolize him, but they're not speaking it out loud. Like me, I personally appreciate him. There's a story that a lot of people don't talk about with Colin Kaepernick is after he initially he was just sitting on the bench, right? And there was a guy who was a vet.
He was a Marine, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he
spoke with a Marine. So you know the story. And so the Marine tells him, he says, okay, well, I hear where you're coming from. They had a good discussion. He said, you know, I don't want to disrespect the flag. I don't want to disrespect people who fought. So what should I do? He tells him, he said, okay, I think kneeling would be a better option for you.
He said that was more conventional.
Yes. And so the next game, there's a picture of him. It's him kneeling, and it's a guy that told him that standing up right next to him. And so, like, just those types of things where he did what he needed to do that he felt was appropriate at the time to meet people where they're at. And so I just think that's something that people don't understand or people haven't seen. Like, right. That didn't get publicity because right. I don't know if they wanted it to as well. So, like, that's a whole nother issue.
I hear you, man. And, you know, just to go against the grain can be tough, as I've spoken in the past about. But even just to make a stand for something or, you know, making a difference at times when it's easy to be quiet. It's easy to cast a stone and raise your hand. You know, it's easy to cast a stone and look around, though. It's hard to cast a stone and raise your hand, rather, I say. But I commend that man, Colin Kaepernick, and what he's doing. But let's keep the show pushing, man, with some S2 and social. But yeah, man, there's a few points I want to bring up in terms of social. There's a few in-between parallel points I want to draw between athletes and entertainers. But Malcolm, I don't understand. What is the difference between entertainers and athletes? I feel that they're both on TV, they're both rich, this, that, but there's a difference. Can you elaborate on this for me? Am I missing something?
Yeah, one of the things I think about is that athletes get backlash for doing the things that entertainers rap about, act out, and so we have to ask ourselves, what are the standards that are being held between those two different industries? And so I think for athletics, a lot of times the money that they have come in is based on their talents, based on the performance. For entertainment, it's like you do what you need to do to get an audience because that's how they make their money. And so I think that leaves wiggle room for them to kind of do what they want to do. I think we talked about LeBron James and Drake. Like, why would it be that people would be more disappointed in LeBron James abusing drugs and not as disappointed with Drake abusing drugs? And so we have to ask ourselves, what is that about? Is it because of the individual, or is it because of the standard that we have on those two people? And why do we hold them to those standards?
Right. No. I think you're 100% right, man. Kente, as you said, man. LeBron cannot say what Drake says, you know, and if he does, that's an issue. LeBron can't do what Drake does because LeBron and athletes are typically receiving this blanket cover and they need to proceed accordingly, while entertainers are able to, you know, more or less cast their own personal spell or do what they want to kind of personify their own image or what they feel they should be portraying. And that's often a missed art in between athletes and entertainers. So I think, Malcolm, man, you walked me right into my next question of why do we hold athletes and entertainers to different standards as a society?
I think it kind of goes back to what we discussed earlier is because we know that in the NBA, if someone is abusing marijuana, then there's going to be consequences. In entertainment, when it comes to either film or music, there aren't as many consequences. There may be conversations, but there won't be consequences for those people because the people who are in charge in those industries, I won't say aren't holding them accountable, but there aren't consequences for those types of actions. And so I think that's kind of what we have to loop back to when we think about why do we hold them to a different stance? Because they're required differently as well.
I hear that. And I think you're dead right in terms of reflections of society, how we want to determine what is appropriate for Let's not get it twisted. This is these people's occupation.
Right.
They're not doing anything different. It's not a hobby. Right. It's not, you know, extracurricular. They get paid to do this. This is their job. So we are treating people differently based off their occupation? Huh? What? Man, that don't make sense. So I don't know. I'm glad you could speak on it because I couldn't. But I'm just going to bring us into our final topic, S3, Scholar. And I know we're speaking, Malcolm, on representation and, you know, how representation is important and this, that, and the third. And, you know, I know we're pressed for time on the show. Sports took a lot of the show, majority of the show and the topic today. But this is just a pertinent question that I had to make sure I got into the show and kind of got your opinion on, man, as I was saying, you know, I know you're wise beyond your years, but can you please tell me why? Listen to this, y'all. Why don't scholars receive more attention, more recognition, more awareness from people or society? These are the people who are changing our society and developing our nation. Yeah, a nation. And we're not idolizing these people. I think that's crazy, man. Like, our bookworms, our Albert Einsteins, our Shakespeares, our, you know, all of these scholars and premier minds are not receiving the attention that these athletes are getting. Can you speak on that? Because as a former athlete, I know, I personally think it's a bit crazy, but I'm, you know, you're a lot wiser than me, so I'd love to hear what you think.
The first thing I'll say is what people pay attention to, that's what they're feeding themselves. And so what you're feeding yourselves will ultimately manifest itself into the way that you want to behave. And so I think when you say, why aren't these scholars being recognized? It's because people want to live the way that they want to live. They want to live like everyone else. They don't want to be distinct. They want to be cool. And it's cool to do things and to follow the mainstream. It's not the thing to do to have intelligent conversations. To start a podcast at the age of 24 and say, damn, I'm gonna start doing things. Start.
Who did that?
I think that was my boy Mookie Mel.
Hey! You know what I mean?
But this is what I'm talking about. There's not a lot of young minds that are doing that, right? Because that's not the thing to do. But when you want to change things and change the condition of the way people think, there have to be people like you who are saying, dang, these conversations are not happening. This is not the norm for people my age. So I'm going to do something so that I can, you know, spark a mind, like you say in the show. And so it's not encouraging. That's not the thing to do. But for there's enough people that will say, dang, I'm going to listen to someone. I'm going to do something. I'm going to change the way that I think. So I'm going to give my attention to something different. But there's not a lot of young people who are doing that. They'd rather just watch someone entertain and be fed by that. And so that's a dangerous place to be, I think, for our generation.
I definitely hear that. I definitely hear that, you know, in terms of what we choose to give our attention. Not only our attention, guess what, folks? Our attention is directly correlated to our money. So who we give our money to, our attention to, and our time to, that's huge, man. And I appreciate you, Malcolm. I just wanted to say thank you for coming on the show, man. It's an honor to have you as one of my first guests, my brother.
Man, it's a pleasure, man.
I know that you have many great things on the horizon for you. So, ladies and gentlemen, y'all better Google this man or something or try to find his email because I'm not giving it out, but y'all need to get in contact with him. The brother, this man is doing big things. But again, man, thank you for coming on the Mookie Mel show, Malcolm. It's really appreciated. It's really appreciated. But JJ.
Yeah.
Jigga Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Baby Yosington.
Yo.
Go ahead hit the people with the facts, man.
I'm on it. All right, so what's up, people? What a freaking episode, right? I really enjoyed it. And there was a lot of great dialogue, and it's personally been my favorite podcast so far. And it was so awesome, you know, hearing Malcolm on all the different subjects. So I freaking enjoyed that so much. This was our first time doing the dual mics, so like the two mics at the same time. So there might be a couple of spots with echo and like unwanted, you know, side echo. So please forgive us on that end. You know, we're still working out the kinks and testing out different vocal effects and different mics and things of that nature. Something else I wanted to touch on is the PayPal donations. On our Podomatic homepage, there is a PayPal button with a little PayPal logo on the right-hand side. Once you click that, it redirects you to a PayPal window, and you could donate as little as $1. We appreciate literally anything, I promise you. Literally anything we appreciate, you know, because at the end of the day, we're just doing this for fun. You know, we're doing it for the culture. Any donations received will just help us keep this thing going, and it'll just go to the basic podcasting fees, you know, like the softwares and the pro subscription. You know, like I said earlier, anything is very, 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 very much appreciated. Be on the lookout for episode 5. You know, these guest episodes are really fun to listen to, and the energy is refreshing. And we're going to have a lot of more guest episodes coming up. So please be on the lookout for all that. You know, thanks so much for, you know, all the support and love we've received so far. It's been so fun and so such a journey, you know, so far with this podcast. So please enjoy your weeks. You know, all I can say right now is more to come. You know, hope you guys have a good Sunday. And that's it for me. Mookie Mel Show out.